So we are holding on static vol on the days three lines from the bottom. We're actually in the middle of a sugya as follows. We were discussing the fact that we're saying that the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash is able to be mekabel tumah. We learned that from a pasuk that calls it the shulchan hatahar, implying that it's able to become tahar. So the first thing we ask is that on the face of it, the shulchan, now the shulchan is made out of wood, of course, and it's plated with gold. So we started by focusing on the wood. We said normally a wooden keli is not mekabel tumah if it's a kli ha'osu l'naches, if it's meant to stay in one place. We mentioned yesterday that Ibid holds specifically if there's an ister to move it, that Amnon holds more generally if you don't move it, if it's large or heavy or cumbersome or what have you. The point is that if the kli ha'osu l'naches is not mekabel tumah, and the answer was that the shulchan is not also the machis because they pick it up and show it to the early regal to show them that the lachem aponim is still fresh. So then we got into a question that on the shulchan is plated. It's plated with gold. Now, according to Rashi and Tosfos and the Ravid, the point of the question is, if it's plated with gold, we should be following the plating, and we should be saying, therefore, gold is mekabel tumah regardless. Therefore, we should say the shulchan is mekabel tumah on the grounds that it's covered with gold.
So it's completely covered with gold?
Yeah, completely. But we wanted to, let's start rather four lines from the bottom, the line begins sheer. V'chitema, so you might argue, can the tzipri oimed, can the tzipri she'eni oimed, maybe you could distinguish between when do you say you go according to the plating, which in the Mishnah that we quoted, you had it was plated with, marble, which makes it not mekabel tumah. Here it's the other way around, it's plated with gold, which would make that it is mekabel tumah. So maybe we should distinguish between a plating that stands, in other words, that holds on, that's held on to the table or whatever table it is with nails, can the tzipri she'eino oimed versus the other one we'll be talking about where it's not held on with nails, and therefore we could say the case in the Mishnah that we mentioned yesterday with a table that was covered with marble, that would be the marble is nailed or otherwise attached to the table. The gold on the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash, we could argue, was not nailed on or otherwise attached to the table. It was like with the aron where they had one box inside another. Maybe you could argue that way. Or Tosfos says that another meaning of oimid could mean, a tzipri oimid would mean one that's able to stand on its own. In other words, even if there was no wood in there, it's strong enough to stand on its own. So that would be an example of a marble in the Mishnah there in Kaven. As opposed to, let's say the plating on the shulchan, let's say it was attached, say it was nails or whatever. But the point is that it's a thin enough plating of gold that if you took away the wood of the shulchan, then it wouldn't be strong enough to stand on its own. So then you could say maybe only when the plating is thick enough to stand by its own does it count, and when not, then not. The problem with that, we find that Rish Lakish asked Rav Yechanan exactly that question. Are we talking about this that we're saying when you have a table that was covered, a wooden table that was covered with marble, and we're saying therefore it's not a kabel tumah anymore as long as not enough of it was left uncovered to use it. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We had a case. A table that was plated with marble, right. So the question is, are we talking about a plating that's attached to the table or that can stand on its own, or are we not?
Not two layers.
The question is, are we talking about a tzipri oimed, one where the marble is strong enough to stand on its own, or according to Tosfos' explanation, or not? Or, according to the first explanation, are we talking about that this marble was actually nailed to the table, or is it not nailed? Is it just placed on? Another question would be, are we talking about specifically only the table is not the kabel tumah, only if he also plated not only the table itself, but also the rim around the table, like the mezgeres that we were discussing yesterday in connection with the shulchan and the Beis Mikdash? Or maybe not. Even if you didn't cover the rim around the table with marble, or in our case with gold, then it wouldn't matter. But Amalei and Rabbi Yechanan answers him, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether the covering of the table is oimed or not, attached to the table or not attached, or stands independently or doesn't stand independently. Doesn't matter whether he covered the rim of the table as well or not. So therefore, we can't make that distinction. We can't say that the Mishnah in Kalim there was talking about, let's say, a table where you put on it, where you took the marble and nailed it to the table, versus here we're talking about you didn't nail the gold to the shulchan, or over there the marble can stand on its own, and here the gold can't stand on its own. Because Rav Yechanan is saying there's no distinction in that. Either way, once a table is plated, a wooden table is covered with something that's not the table trauma, then the table is not the table trauma anymore. Thus, that would be the case with marble. And if it's plated with something that isn't the table trauma, like gold, then it's the table trauma. So therefore, we're back to the...
How would you nail marble?
Yeah, you could. You drill holes in it, and you nail it.
The nail made of metal.
Yeah, okay, but that's not... No, because the nails themselves are a small thing. They don't make the whole thing. It's not considered a metal casing as a result of that. Well, probably. I mean, even nowadays, also, you can drill in marble if you have to. I mean, they have to assemble marble somehow. Yeah, they didn't have electric drills. They still had manual drills. They could do what they had to. But besides that, also, I mean, you could have it could be attached to the table. It could be attached to the table in other ways. It found that it could be glued on. It could be... We're talking about, so the question was, the shulchan of the Beis Mikdash is mekabel truma, we said. So the question is, we said that the only reason it's mekabel truma is because it's not, is because it's picked up and showed to the other regal. The question is, plated with gold anyway, isn't that reason enough for it to be mekabel truma? Why do we need to mention the idea? Why do we need to say, well, how do we know that it's picked up and showed to the other regal? Because the Torah calls it tahor, implying that it has to remain tahor. You can't allow it to become tameh. And if you pick it up and show it to the other regal, it can become tameh because now it's a paley that moves. The question is, plated with gold anyway, it's mekabel truma.
Or it's plated with marble.
No. There's one in the middle of this mix that is not plated with marble. It's plated with gold, which is mekabel truma. Again, the Rambam
here says here.
No. We started by mentioning a case in a Mishnah in Kalim that mentioned a table that was covered with marble where we said it's not mekabel truma. Mm-hmm. The point is, in other words, we go according to the plating. There, marble is not mekabel truma, and therefore it's not mekabel truma. Here it's gold, and therefore it is. Yeah, okay, so that's the question.
Right.
That's the question. So the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash should be mekabel truma just because it's plated with gold. You don't need any other.
So basically, it's the plating that is.
That's what we're saying. Now, that's according to most Rishonim. The Rambam has a different shit on it, as I mentioned yesterday. The Rambam holds that once a wooden table is plated with gold or whatever, it can't be mekabel truma anymore. So the Rambam would have to, so the Kesef Mishnah explains there that the Rambam, in Hilchos Kalim, that the Rambam would have to understand our Gemara exactly the other way around. The Gemara is asking, why is the shulchan mekabel truma? Because of the fact that it's a wooden keli that's picked up. Since it's plated with gold, that should make that it can't be mekabel truma. Yeah, so again, so the question according to Rashi and Tosfos and everybody else is, it's plated with gold, so automatically for that reason alone it should be mekabel truma. According to the Rambam, it's plated with gold, so it shouldn't be mekabel truma. Yeah.
And the Rambam believes that on the basis that the plating does not determine...
That the plating, he says that once the keli is plated, then the plating itself is immaterial because it's a thin layer or whatever, and therefore you go in and it's kind of a vassal the keli, so to speak. The sticker is a vassal the keli from... Yeah, okay, let's go on. So the question is, okay, so let's continue. So you might argue, let's try another distinction. You might answer, okay, but the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash wasn't just made out of any kind of wood. It was made out of ase shittim. You could argue that's a very valuable wood. Therefore, maybe veloy basli, maybe it's not bottle, therefore it's not, maybe it's not bottle to the plating. So we would say, if a table was made out of simple wood, then fine. It's plated, then you go according to the plating, but not yet. The problem with that is, Hanichal Rish Lakish, fine, but that would only work out according to Rish Lakish, to Omar, that he says, this that we're saying, the distinction with, again, Mishnah and Kalim that mentioned a table that was covered with marble, Rish Lakish says, it depends what the table is made out of. That applies, that Mishnah applies only to tables or whatever that are made out of Flagos wood, which comes from overseas. What is a flagos? The one explanation is that it means, Rashi explains, Asa. Flagus, which means apparently that it's some kind of wood. Tosva says it's not a kind of wood, it's the name of a place. Whatever it is, the point is it's not a very high quality wood. So the Boimim Dinathayam, they come from overseas, but in and of itself it's not a particularly high quality wood. Avo claim Masmus, Mismus, whatever, but the Shlokish continues if the table is made out of Mismus, which is some kind of more valuable wood, like mahogany or something. I think the Gaonim say something like ebony, which is a very, very expensive tropical wood. Whatever it is, then he says chashivu v'lebatli. Then Rish Lakish says, then the table itself is kosher, and therefore it's not bottle for the plating. Well, then shaper. Then we can explain very simply: the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash was made out of ase shittim, which in that sense are like mitzvahs. They're important enough. No, it's expensive wood. Therefore, ase shittim we would assume is expensive. Let's say that's why the Torah tells us to make all the kalim of the Beis Mikdash out of it. So then, therefore, okay, so then we would say the table is not bottled to its plating, therefore we go according to the normal rules of a wooden case. So that would work.
That
therefore the plating won't change. Right. Elul Rav Yechanan, but according to Rav Yechanan, the Omar that Rav Yechanan says there's no difference, claim mismas nami batli, even if the table is made out of misma and it's covered with with marble, it's still bottle to the marble. And the same thing in our case over here, covered with gold, it should be bottle to the gold. So then my ikonomeba, then what are you going to say? Why is the shulchan, why do we have to find a side reason why the shulchan is a kabel truma? Because it's picked up. If it's using a kabel truma, because it's plated with gold. Or going to the Rambam the other way around. Why is the shulchan a kabel truma if it's plated with gold? Okay, so the answer is, shiny shulchan derachmona kau yehi. The difference is the shulchan is a special case because you have a pasuk that calls it wood. In other words, even though the Torah tells us in Parashat Terumah that it was made out of wood and plated with gold, but we find a pasuk in Yechezkel that calls it only wood and ignores the plating.
How do we know it has to be plated?
It does, because the pasuk says that the Pesach is of Zahav Tar, it says in Parashat Terumah. But Yechezkel, in his description of the third Beis Hamikdash, describes it as just wood, and therefore we, and in other words, now we... No, because he's telling us that Yechezkel is not teaching us new dinim. A Navi is not able to make up new, is not able to come up with new dinim. So he's teaching us a din that existed about the Shulchan already, namely that's considered eight. So Shenema, if you have a pasuk, I need them with a face. Yeah, like this. You have a pasuk on Mizbeach, now on the face of it, so the pasuk is talking about Mizbeach, but we're going to see in a second what one's on. The Hamizbeach, eight, is made out of wood. Shalosh Amos Gavoya. It is three Amos tall. V'orkoshtayim, and its length is 2 Amos. V'orkoshtayim Amos, its length is 2 Amos. Umiksa'oistav, really, it's 3 loy. Its corners are made out of the same piece of wood as it. In other words, they're not nailed on. One second. V'orkoshtayim, eight. Its length and its sides are made out of wood. V'idaber Eli, and we say this every day before benching. And by Dabra Eli, he said to me, the Malach, leading me around, Zeh Shulchan HaSholach Hashem. This is the Shulchan that's before Hashem. So therefore we see that the Shulchan is called Eight, and therefore it has the dinim of a Kli Eight, even though it's plated with gold.
There's a cost
of that. Okay, so you're asking about the dimensions. So that's one thing, actually, that so Tosfos asked the question on the face of it, if you're talking about the Mizbeach HaZav, it can't be that. No, the Mizbeach HaZav is 2 Amos. If you're talking about the big mizbeach outdoors, that's different. That Yechezkel will describe separately. We're going to get to that at the bottom of this Amud in the next Amud. If you're talking about the mizbeach hazahav, that is two, the Torah tells us in Parashat Tisaka, that it is two amos tall, and 1 by 1 amos length and width. So it doesn't fit what we're saying over here. And if you're saying it's the shulchan, fine. The shulchan is 2 amos long, like we're saying over here. But the shulchan is not 3 amos tall. So therefore, so what do you mean by 3 amos? The Tosfos says maybe it's talking about nisim. The side frames that they have next to the shulchan. The problem with that is, a couple of other Achronim talk about, the Birkas HaZevach and others talk about, the problem with that is, we said before that the sniffin extend either 12 or 15 tefachim above the shulchan. 12 tefachim is 2 amos. 15 tefachim is 2.5 amos. The shulchan itself is 1.5 amos tall. So either way, you're not reaching a total of 3 amos. You're reaching 3.5 or 4, as the case may be. So it still doesn't work. There's a number of different explanations, including one interesting one. We said a possibility the other day. We discussed that maybe the snippin don't stand on the ground as they're usually drawn, but rather they sit on top of the shulchan and extend upward from there. So let's say, according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that they extend upward 15 tefachim because each lechem upon them is folded up 2.5 tefachim, and times 6 equals 15. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah also holds, which we're going to discuss soon, that the amma used for Kalim in the Beit Hamikdash is an amma of 5 tefachim. Well, very well then, 15 tefachim comes out to 3 of those ammas. So therefore, when the Pasuk says the height of it is 3 ammas, it may mean from the tabletop until the height of the stack of lechem upon. So the height of the snifim, in other words, from the table, so which are sitting on the tabletop, to the height of the stack of the lechem upon. That's one possibility that's brought up.
Not really a shulchan.
Yeah, but in other words, that's the essential. Fine, but it says that's the essential part of the shulchan is where the lechem upon is. The fact that it has legs is, but that's a side issue. Okay, anyway, that's one possibility that's brought up. Okay. So the question is, Pasuk HaMizbeach to see in the shulchan. The question is, why is the Pasuk beginning by saying HaMizbeach, eight, and then finishing off by Dabra Elazar Shulchan HaShem? Which one are we talking about? The answer is Rav Yechanan and Rav Elazar da'ami tarvayu, bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, it's like this. When the Beit Hamikdash was standing, mizbeach mechaper aladim, and the mizbeach was mechaper for a person because he bring karbonis on it. But achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kayim, now when you don't have a Beit Hamikdash standing, shulchana shel adam mechaper olav, then a person's table is mechaper for him. Now, how is it mechaper? Rashi explains because a person has orchim by his table and gives them food.
As it says, shulchana means...
Yes, I mean a person's table where he eats. So Rashi explains because a person gives food to orchim over there. Tosfos adds on that, says from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Goyle Legima, giving a person food is a tremendous thing.
So you can give food outside the table.
Fine, but usually you give it at your table. You have people sitting at your table and you give them food. You have other explanations as well. Marsha over here says that the idea is you say you're very tired by the table. In Baba Basra, Marsha explains a different thing that it also means that the person's table is machafra for him in that he's careful what he eats and doesn't eat at his table. That he doesn't eat things that are offer, that he eats Boshem Shemayim, etc. So all those things are included in the subject. No, the other way. But that's what we're saying. The pasuk is referring to the shulchan. The reason why it starts by saying hamizbeah ate to symbolize that the shulchan in the Bais Mikdash, which is similar to the shulchan that we eat on, has the status of a mizbeah when there's no Bais Mikdash. Which is why, by the way, that's why we. The shulchan has the status after the korban has the status of a mizbeach. That's machafel for a person. So we said because that may refer to the height of the stack of the lechem aponim and the tzimim. That's talking about the shulchan. Right, but the fact is, pasuk on mizbeach, but it says on mizbeach eight, it says shulchan eight. So therefore, by calling the shulchan mizbeach, the first half of the pasuk, it hints at this idea. And this is why, by the way, this is why we say that that half the pasuk by Dabar Elazar Shalom and Shalom Hashem. That's why we say it after Mayim Achronim, because we're saying that our shulchan is machaper for us.
That's okay. Machaper.
Well, that, as one of the person does, one of these things, the various things, being machnes orchim and being careful about what they eat, saying the return and so forth. There are various halachas that come out of that, by the way, the fact that the shulchan is like a mizbeach. One interesting one is that you're supposed to remove the knives from the table before you bench. Because just like in the Zayach, didn't have iron on it. So also, symbolically, your table, when you're benching, when you're eating, you have no choice.
Except Shabbos.
But afterwards, except on Shabbos, right. Actually, Shabbos you can leave the knives on. Shabbos you can leave the knives on. Actually, it brings a Shulchan Aruch, it brings actually a different reason for it. That one time there was a person who was benching, and he got to Uvnei Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, and he was feeling so sad and so depressed over the korban that he picked up one of the knives on the table and stabbed himself. So therefore, that's another reason why we don't have the knives on the table during benching. Mashen Kim Shabbos, the person isn't going to be that sad over the korban on Shabbos, therefore it's okay to leave him there.
That's why they never do with knives.
You have to take away all the metal.
No, but Pasha, this is just enough. Just enough. Okay. All right, let's go on.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
My question.
Yeah.
When people are sitting by the table and they don't talk to Sarah, how do you hint to them that it would be appropriate to?
Tell them just something down here. Say straight out. I'd like to hear it to our Torah or something. Or say something on your own, whatever. I think it's actually brought one reason why we say Al Malik Bravo on days when we say Tachnun and Shir Al Malik on days when not, is in case there was no Dvar Torah said by the table, then that counts as a Dvar Torah. I think I've seen such a thing, but all right, anyway, let's go on. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Arba Sniffin Shal Zav Ha Yisham L'Chola, then we said in the Mishnah like this. You had four sniffings, four side frames that go next to the Shulchan, one on each side of each of the two stacks of the Lechem Aponim. So you have two stacks, so you have four sniffings. And then we said you had 28 tanim, 14 for each stack, that went between one Lechem Aponim and the next. Okay, so let's talk about that. We didn't resolve, so that's it. So there's the answer, therefore. So the Shulchan is Makabel Troma because the Pasuk calls it eight. And therefore we ignore the place.
And eight is
Makabel Tumah, as long as it's not a Kli HaOfer L'Nafes. And we said it's not because the Shulchan is picked up and showed to the other level. Fine. So Menahani Mili, where do we know that there were these four Sniffim and that there were the Sniffim and there were the Kanim? Omer Ketina, like this. Omer Ketina, the Pasuk says in Parashat Truma, when it's describing the making of the Shulchan, it says, V'asifta ka'aroysav, you should make it bowls, the chapoysav, and it's spoons, uksoysav, and it's ksois, or menachiyosav, and it's menachiyos. So we're going to explain. One second. Karoysav, Eilud Futin. The word karoysav, it's bowls, refers to the forms that they used to shape the Lachem Aponim. We learned at the beginning of the Perek that they had a form that they kneaded it inside in order to shape it, in order to get it in the correct shape. They had another one that they baked it inside the oven with, and another one that after they took it out of the oven, they put it in these forms in order to cool off. So those are called Ta'araisim. A post of Ela Bazichin, the spoons refers to the Bazichin, the two spoons which they put Levona in and put on the Shulchan together with the Shulchan all week. Ksoisav Elu Snifin, the word Ksoisav refers to the Snifin, the side flame. And Menachiyosav Elu Kanin, the word Menachiyosav refers to the half tubes that go between one Lachan Afon and the next.
So let the
air go in. In fact, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk that that's why they're called Menachiyosav, Meloshin Naki, clean, because they help keep the Lachan Afon clean and free of mold. And Ksoisav, according to that, would be from the word kosher, because it helps keep the Lachem Aponim in place. It helps keep it from bowing out and breaking and whatever. Rashi actually mentions on the Pasuk that there's machlokas on that some of the Chachamim hold the other way around. Ksoisav means the half tubes, and Menachiyosav means the side flame. Okay.
Generally, if it's
whatever, you have, or Gemara just mentions the one way. Ka'araisav means these forms, these metal pans that they would make sure that they would make the Lachem Aponim inside to make sure that it has correct shape. So we said they had one that they kneaded it inside, then they'd take it out of there and put it in the oven inside a second one, and then when they then bake it in there, and then when they took it out, they'd put it inside a third one to cool off, and so it doesn't break. None of those are on the Shulchan, but they're none of those are on the Shulchan. The Lachem Aponim is placed on the Shulchan without even not an end thing, not an end pan.
Between
the different layers. No. So there you have a canon for that purpose. Yeah. Okay. If we said it was shaped like a boat, then we said that the canon was shaped in such a way to be able to help hold it up. If we said it, the Lachem Aponim was shaped like a box, then the canon were straight. Yeah. No. What you're looking at is the actual shape of the bread. Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay, and then Asher Yusach Behem, the Pasuk continues that Yusach with them. What does Yusach mean? Shemasach and Behenet Alechem. It means that the Kanim, the last thing that we mentioned, Menachi Yosef, being the Kanim, are used to cover the bread, like so to speak, or crack over the bread. So they go over one bread, and then the next one goes on top of it, and so forth. Okay.
They support them.
They support them, but they cover, each one covers
it.
Yeah, well, okay.
It covers
fine, okay, but that's the Pasuk describes it as a youth after hand that fundamentally they're meant to cover the Lachem Aponim. Okay.
They're meant to support them.
Okay, it's fine. Moisiv Rava. So Rava asks, what do you mean saying that having the tubes and the flames over there is Midaraisa, because they're mentioning the Pasuk. Our Mishnah said, Loisidir Akanim Velemitilos and Berchus and Shabbos. We said that putting up the Kanim between one Lachem Aponim and the next and taking them out is not Berchus Shabbos. Yeah, they had to take them out before Shabbos. So how can it be Midaraisa? The East Sakurai of Midaraisa, if you say that Midaraisa, you have to have it arranged like that with Kanim between one Lachem Aponim and the next. And the side frames on the side are my in Berchus the Shabbos. Why wouldn't it be Berchus Shabbos? Harder on my Rava. Then after Rava said that, he said Lav Milta Hudam. What I said is not really correct. As a matter of fact, it could be that it is Daraisa, and nevertheless, it's not Berchus Shabbos. It's none because we learned in our Mishnah. Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Kol Malacha she'efshal la'as sois me'ed of Shabbos, ain't a Berchus Shabbos. Any Malacha involving Kodshin that could have been done before Shabbos is not Berchus Shabbos. We said in our Mishnah in particular about the grinding and sifting of the flour for the Shteilach. I'm in the Lachem Aponim. But the same thing applies to this. V'hani nami, efshal la'as Shabbos alayu. So therefore, here it's also possible to do them not on Shabbos, and therefore you can't be Berchus Shabbos to do them. So again, what would be the problem with doing it on Shabbos? We said yesterday or the day before that Rashi said the problem is that it would be like building, because you're inserting the kanim into the holes in the frame, and therefore it's like building, at least on the Rabbanan level.
Only part of this use is like building?
Yeah, I mean, what else are there?
Inserting them between the holes or not?
Yeah, I guess not. According to the Rambam, apparently it would be, because again, I say the Rambam holds that the Tanim are not supported by the frame. So according to him, just putting them between, Tosfos anyway mentions a different reason that it might be because of Muktzah. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, because what's the whole reason of having them there? Taimamai, what's the whole reason for having the Tanim between one Lachem Aponim and the next? Deloila Apish Lechem, because you don't want the bread to get moldy. Well, fine. But see, Hai Shir Elema Apish. In that short amount of time, it's not going to get moldy if you don't have the kanim between them. It's a kanim, as we learn in a bright, so that's not that long from when you take out the kanim until you put him back. Take that. How do you do it? Nichnas Me'erev Shabbos, a Kohen would go into the Heichal on Erev Shabbos, the Shamtan, and he takes out the kanim, he pulls them out, umanichan la'okah shel shulchan, and he lays them on the floor along the length of the shulchan, on Erev Shabbos. Umatze Shabbos nichnas, and then sometime on Matze Shabbos, some of the Poroshim say actually Matze, I think the Rambam holds that Matze Shabbos might mean Sunday morning, but whatever it is, nichnas, he goes in, magdia rosh shel challah, he picks up one end of the challah, and sticks in the kone underneath it. Then he picks up the other end of the challah and puts in the kone underneath it. So therefore, so like this, you only have the old lechem aponim are going from sometime on Friday until sometime on Shabbos, like 24 hours or a little less, without kanim. The same thing, the fresh one that's put on the shulchan is going only from sometime on Shabbos until Motzei Shabbos, or until Sunday morning or whatever, without kanim. Fine, that short amount of time, it's not going to spoil, so therefore we can do it without kanim. Therefore, even if we argue that having the kanim there is required on a daraisa level, we can still say that the chachamim, either because of binyan or because of mukta, as the case may be, asked to do it on Shabbos.
So basically, they removed it at Shabbos.
They let the old lechem aponim remain without kanim until they're taken off the shulchan. The new ones are put without kanim. Motzei Shabbos, or Sunday morning, they come in and put the kanim. Continues the Brayta. So our gochal. So how now? We said in the Mishnah that you have 28 kanim. You have 14 for each stack of lechem aponim. So how does 14 get divided among 6 lechem aponim? So like this. Our gochal is tzrichas shloisha kanim. 4 of the challah, the counting from the bottom, you have the first one, which is on the shulchan, then you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 4 then, meaning numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5, tzrichas shloisha shloisha kanim. Those need to be supported by 3 kanim each. The top one, the sixth one, only requires 2 kanim. Because there's no extra weight on top of it. The fifth one, let's say, has the sixth one on top of it. The fourth one has the fifth one and the sixth one. All the other ones, right? But the sixth one doesn't have anything on top of it. Therefore, you don't need, and therefore you don't need as much to hold it up.
The three, except
for so the 3, 3, 3, 3, and 2, right?
Right.
So 3, 3, 3, 3, 12, and then 2 makes 14. The bottom one doesn't need any. The bottom one doesn't need any kanim at all. Because it's lying on the tabletop itself. And since the tabletop, we said, is gold and metal. Well, the point is, in other words, that gold helps, metal helps keep things cool. As long as it's cool inside the heichal, then the metal itself will stay cool. So therefore,
it's not cool, but it's really cool. It doesn't.
Well, whatever. The point is that it won't get moldy. Okay. So therefore, so that's how you have 3, 3, 3, 3 and 2. Which, by the way, this Gemara over here is a powerful support for what the Rambam is saying, for the Rambam's understanding that the Kanim are not supported by the flames. Because if you say the Kanim are supported by the flames, what's the difference? What's the difference? Why should the sixth Kala need any less Kanim than the other ones? Each one of them is being supported by its number of Kanim. No. But the point is, in other words, according to everybody else, on the face of it, you have, let's say, the weight of the second challah is not being borne by the first one. It's being borne by the kanim that are above the first one. And the same thing with the second, and the same thing with the third, and so forth. On the other hand, according to the Rambam, if the kanim are not supported at all by the side frame, then it makes sense. Yeah, you have. There's quite a...
Well, the surface of the challah is basically supported by the lower challah.
Well, okay, I mean...
A very tiny part of it is supported by the kanim.
Okay, I mean, you could argue, I guess. Fine.
But I want to ask you something. Wouldn't there have been that there was no shvus in the Beis HaMikdash?
What happened? What?
No binyan shvus in the Beis HaMikdash?
I don't understand. I'm not...
So no binyan of a shvus in the Beis HaMikdash?
I'm not understanding, I'm sorry.
Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Let's go on. Now we're going to get into a discussion. Again, we mentioned in the Mishnah, and we mentioned briefly before, that we had a machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, how large were the amos that they used for the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash? So now we're going to get into a discussion about Schnanhoff. And we learn in a Mishnah in Tehillim, Reb Meir Omer, Kol Amos Shoreh B'Mikdash Beinon Yud. Reb Meir says that all the Amos that we use for measuring things in the Mishnah, both the buildings and the Kalim, were average size one, average size meaning of six tefachim. Where later on, I'm starting to test, the Gemara is going to ask, isn't that the largest Amma there is? What do you mean average? But we'll get to that later. But right now, the mayor is saying they're average, meaning six tefachim, meaning six tefach Ammas, chutz mi mizbach hazav, except for the mizbach hazav, v'akeren, and the corners of the kronos of the mizbach hachitzen, v'asoviv, v'ayasod, and the soviv, and the yasod of the outer mizbach, which all of those were measured in five tefach Ammas, even according to the mayor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amas Binyan Shisha Tochim. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Amma that was used for buildings, indeed, was six Tochim. Vishok Kalim Chamisha, but the Amma that was used for all the Kalim in the Vesmikdash was five Tochim. So that's why we had an Or Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda held the Shulchan was 10 by 5 Tochim. Because the Pasuk says two Amas by one Amma. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that comes out 10 by 5. And according to the Mayor, 12 by 6. Okay. Omer of Yehuda. Depending on whether that's the machlokes over here, whether it's five or six, yes. Omer Rav Yechanan or Shneim Mikra Echad Doshu. Rav Yechanan says both Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir are getting their opinions from the same pasuk, another pasuk in Yechezkel. So the Navi Yechezkel describes in his description of the third business, so she describes him as Beach. And, you know, I mean, we have like this. So Raman writes at the beginning of Hilchos Beis Abchira that we have the description of Yechezkel, of the third business, especially Yechezkel wrote. However, not all the details of it are clearly understood. Therefore, even though Yechezkel lived after the Korban Bayis Rishon and before the Second Beis Hamikdash was built. So they already had his Nevuos in their hands when they came to build the Second Beis Hamikdash. But because the meaning of many of his Nevuos is not clear, they built the Second Beis Hamikdash mostly like the First Beis Hamikdash, but they incorporated some details from Yechezkel. There's an idea that Achronim talk about, Pnimius Yonim. The idea is that the Beis Hamikdash that Yechezkel is describing is one that's meant to never be destroyed. So if they had been on the level, too, they probably would have understood everything Yechezkel is saying, and they would have built the permanent Beis Hamikdash, and it never would have been destroyed again. Hayos, they weren't on that level, and therefore they were going to be building a Beis Hamikdash that was destined to be destroyed anyway. Therefore, they couldn't build it completely according to his blueprint, but they incorporated certain details as the Nevi'im of that time told them to do, Chagas, Chagas, Malachi, to represent what they could have had. Anyway, the point is, the reason I'm mentioning that is because the description that Yechezkel gives over there with the Mizbeach is almost exactly like they had it in the Second Beis Hamikdash. Unlike most of the other things that Yechezkel described, where they had maybe bits and pieces of them in the Second Beis Hamikdash, this Mizbeach that he describes was built almost to that blueprint in the Second Beis Hamikdash. So he says like this: the Eilam Midas Hamizbeach Ba'amah. It's an Achtar of Parshas Tzavah, by the way. The Eilam Midas Hamizbeach Ba'amah. These are the measurements of the Mizbeach. There's a Mizbeach HaChitzen, that is, in Amos. And each Amma is Amma of a Tefach. Each Amma consists of an Amma plus a Tefach, meaning, in other words, a short Amma of 5 Tefachim plus an extra Tefach for a total of 6. So, in other words, most of the measurements of the Mizbeach are in 6 Tefach Amos. However, then he continues, the Chet HaAmma, however, the Chet, which is the Yesod, Chet literally means like Targin, the Lashon HaKetah. So the pro is an appropriate name for the yisod, which is attached to the ground. V'chei ha'ama, that is only an ama, meaning a 5 tefach ama. Now we know, by the way, we're going to discuss in the sugya. We know from Zvachim, and we know from when we learn Hilchos Beis Abchira every year that the yisod had it went up, and then it had an index. So when we say over here, v'chei ha'ama, what are we referring to? The height of it was a 5 tefach ama, or the indent of it was a 5 tefach ama? That we're going to get into soon. Okay, anyway, so v'chei ha'ama, so the yisod somehow involved a 5 tefach ama. V'chei means the yisod. It means the yisod. It means either the height or the indent. We don't know yet. V'ama roichav, and there's an ama of width, which later on, again, we're going to have to figure out what that refers to. Ugvula el fasa tovid zeratachad. And then it's border. The border refers to the kronos, which border the corners of the mizbeach. Surround, by its edges, surrounding it are one zeret. A zeret is a half am. So that means, in other words, what we do is, each keren was like an open box. Each keren was a 1 by 1 by 1 am box. So what we do is, when we say zeret ha'echad, we mean if you were to go to the midpoint of that and measure in each direction, you would have one zeret. So therefore, the total is two zeret, which is one amah. V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach, and this is the top of the mizbeach. So in other words, Yechezkel is saying that there are four things that are measured in a short amma. The chek, the roichav, the gvul, and the gav ha-mizbeach. So first of all, let's figure out what each of those things mean. Chek ha-amma zeh yisoy. The word chek, which he's saying is an amma, that refers to the yisoy. Amma roichav yisoy. The second thing that he mentioned, an amma with, that refers to the soja, the ledge that went around all four sides of the mizbeach that the Kohanim would walk around when they're doing. I don't have a picture. I didn't bring a picture with me, but the mizbeach was made basically like a bunch of boxes, one on top of the other. You had a large box on the bottom, the yisod, and you learned to this bottom, it actually only went around two sides of the mizbeach. And so it went up and then it had an indent. Then you went up a few amas more, five amas more, and you got to the soviz, which is the ledge where the Kohanim walk around when they're doing sprinkling of the blood of the chassas. So so you have that ledge as an amma wide, and Yechezkel is telling us that it's a five tefah amma. Then it went up another three amas. Then you have the kronos sticking out from the four corners, and Yechezkel is telling us that those kronos are also measured in five tefah amas. The total height of the mizbeach is 10 amas. 1, 5, 3, and 1.
Wait, counting the
chronos. Counting the chronos, yeah. Okay. So far we have Chek Ha'ama is the Sod, Ama Rochav is the Sod, Ugvula El Sota Zaviv Zeref Ha'achad. The border all around the edges of it is one Zeref Elu Chronos. This refers to the Chronos, where again Yechezkel was talking about them as a Zeref, meaning you measure from the midpoint of them a Zeref, which is a half Ama, in each direction. So in other words, each one is an Ama by an Ama. And Zeh Gav HaMizbeach, when Yechezkel finishes off, this is the top of the Mizbeach, he's not referring to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, there he's referring to the Mizbeach HaZachar. There he's referring to the golden Mizbeach inside the Heichel, that one is also measured in a five tefach. So, thus far the top. Now, the Meir Sabah, so the Meir holds like this. Zehu Ba'ama Ba'chamisha. Only these four things, when he says the Zeh Gav HaMizbeach, Zeh is a miut, only this. But only the Mizbeach HaZav, among all the Kalim, is measured in a five tefach amma. Ha kol amas Kalim, implying that the amma used to measure all the other Kalim, such as the Shulchan and the Oren and so forth, the amma Bashesh is with a six tefach amma. Because the Zeh, Gav HaMizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The word Zeh means kozeh, yu kol amas Kalim. It means this is the measurement for the Mizbeach HaZav, and like this should be the measurement, kozeh, like this should be the measurement for all the other Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash. Because that's what he says, Zeh Gav HaMizbeach. This is the measurement used for the Gav HaMizbeach as well as for all the other Kalim. So that's therefore fine. And again, it comes up in our Mishnah as far as the size of the Shulchan. There's a Sugya in Bava Basra also, where you have a similar machlokas about the size of the Oron, where the Oron is 2.5 by 1.5 amos. So is that 15 by 9 fucking like a mayor, or is it 12.5 by 7.5 like Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara calculates over there how the mochas fit in there and what else fit in there, etc. Now let's figure out, okay, so fine. So we understand machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, but now let's analyze, okay, so we have the first three things that Yechezkel mentioned, the Yesod, the Sodev, and the Kronos, he says are measured in five tefach amos. But what we need to figure out is, again, for example, when we say the Yesod, are we talking about the height of the Yesod, or are we talking about the indent of the Yesod? So let's start like this. Kofalka Daita, we start with the assumption as follows. Li Yisoid Ad Sova Ba'ama Ba'hei V'goida, that you have like this. You have not only the Amma of the Yisoid, but also the next five Ammas of the height of the Mizeach, all the way up until the Sova, are all measured in a five Tepach Amma. Let's assume that to start with. That what Yechezkel is telling us is that not only the height of the Yisoid is of five tefach amma, but then the next five amas of the height of the mizbeach are also five tefach amma, all the way up until the yisod, and then from the yisod and upward we start six tefach amma. So in that case, umay chek ha'amma v'amma roshav, so what would Yechezkel mean when he says the chek is an amma and there's an amma width? Halchik ha'amma, what he means is like this. Nei chek ha'amma v'ad roshav, the space on the mizbeach from the chek's own height of an amma, the yisoid's own height of an amma, all the way until the amma roichav, namely until the soiv, all of that should be ba'amma bat chamisha. All of that would be using a five type of hammer. The chekam of amarus. All of that would be, in other words, that we measure those bottom six amas of the mizbeach using five tefachim. Well then, let's figure, and then the remaining four amas then will be six tefachim. So let's figure out, in that case, goy b'amizbeach kamahavi esra amas. Now we know the mizbeach is 10 amas tall. Mind you, you have a machlokus about that in Zvachim, about what the height of the mizbeach was in the Mishkan, but let's not get into that. And the mizbeach was 10 amas. So therefore, And if we're saying shis bnei chamisha, if we're saying the bottom six amos of it consisted of five tefachim each, so that means you have 30 tefachim so far. Va'arboi bnei shita shita, then the next four amos are six tefachim each, so that's another 24. Mizbeach kamarabi chamshin va'arba. So it comes out the mizbeach would be 54 tefachim tall. Okay. Let's work that out. Now, Palgei the Mizbeach Kamahavi, so where would be the midpoint of the Mizbeach? And we know that the midpoint of the Mizbeach is an important marker because in Zvachim it talks about that certain karbonis, the blood has to be applied to the top half of the Mizbeach and certain other ones to the bottom half. So it's important to know where the midpoint is. So if we suppose that the Mizbeach was 54 tefachim tall, then the midpoint of it would be 27 tefachim off the ground. So there's 27. Okay. So let's work out how much would that be. Let's work downward from the chronos until the sovah. What do you have? We said it's four amos of six tefachim each. So you have esra v'arba, 24 tefachim to the sovah, to the ledge itself where the kohen stands. Now, how much more do we need? How much are we missing to get to the midpoint of the mizbeach? We're missing at that point three tefachim. In other words, if we understand the structure of the mizbeach to be like that the bottom six are five tefachim and the top four are six tefachim, it comes out the midpoint of the mizbeach would be three tefachim below the surface. Okay, utznan, and we learn in a Mishnah in Nidos. No, so according to that, the surface, no, we're going to see throughout this discussion, the surface was not exactly in the middle of the mizbeach. The purpose of the sozer is for the kohen to stand on it. You have a chatos, the blood of a chatos, the kohen has to dip his finger into the keli and daub it on each of the four corners of the mizbeach. All of our kevesh will front on the sozer, all of our kevesh, etc. So he needs to be able to walk around on the sozer. He needs a space to stand on. No, it was a ledge. It was a ledge that stuck out. Again, it stuck out around the... No. No, you're thinking of the kevesh. The kevesh went from the floor to the top. The kevesh is a rim. We're talking about the sovis, which is a ledge that you have. Again, you have like this. If this is, let's say, forget about the yisov for a second. If this is the height of the wall of the mizbeach, here is the sovis, and here is the next part of the mizbeach. So the kohen would be able to walk around all over here and be able to reach the kronos, because the kronos is only three amos above where they're standing. Okay. So far, what we're saying is, if we understand the structure of the mizbeach that way, it comes out the midpoint of the mizbeach is three tefachim below the surface. And utznan, and in fact we learn in a Mishnah in Midas, chut shal tikra chogra b'emsa, there was a red line painted around the middle of the mizbeach, k'dei lahavdil bein damim halyonim l'damim tachtonim, to separate between the blood of korbanos that has to go on the top half of the mizbeach, namely chatas behema and ola ta'os, and damim tachtonim, the blood that has to go on the bottom half, namely chatas ta'os and all other korbanos behema. Okay. The problem with that is, ela hodetanya, so what about then, what are we doing with this that we learn in, a braisa? Gabi Ola Sa'os, in connection with an Ola Sa'os, where an Ola Sa'os has to be done on the top half of the Mizbeach, the blood of it has to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, has to be stripped onto the Mizbeach on the top half, and we learn in this place, the Hoya Ola Ba'kevesh, the Kohen went up the ramp of the Mizbeach, upon Ola Sa'os, he turned to the Sa'os. Well, this is a little bit different. No, we say it every day in connection with the Chapa, with the Chapa of the Hen. You were talking about an Ola Sa'os. But yeah, it's an Ola Sa'os, but it's somewhat similar. So he goes to the Sozev, Uvola Lekan Dromis Mizrachis, he comes to the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, because the Gemara explains in Zvachim, whenever you're turning in the Mizbeach, you should be turning to the right. So therefore, here is the Mizbeach, and here is the Kevesh, when he goes up the Kevesh, which is on the south side of the Mizbeach, and then he turns right, the first corner he comes to is the southeast corner. So he comes to that corner. He does Malika, he lifts off the
when he arrives here
and he arrives over here and he does the Malika. He doesn't look over there yet. We said we learned in Vachin that if it's too crowded over there, if you have too many Olafas being brought by this corner, then he would go to the other corner over here and then do it over there. The point is, he would nip off his head using his fingernail, opposite his neck, whatever, meaning he cuts through his spinal cord with his fingernail. Umavil, he separates the head from the body. Come on, this is Kavanah. Kavanah's not respected. You might not find it attractive. Fine, you're not a fighter. You don't have to worry about it. Then he takes it and squeezes out the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach. And again, all of that has to be on the top half of the mizbeach. And the Braita says, here's the key point, if he sprinkled the blood on the mizbeach below his feet, in other words, so he's standing on the soviv, and instead of just doing it, like this, he's standing on the soviv over here, let's say, instead of doing it right on the wall of the mizbeach in front of him, let's say he bent down and did it on the wall of the mizbeach below him. No, so it's okay as long as, even if he does it as much as an amma below his feet, then it's trela. Now the question is, if you're saying that the midpoint of the mizbeach is only 3 tefachim below the soviv, then you have a problem. Then it comes out, he's putting blood that is supposed to be on the top half of the mizbeach, he's putting it 2 tefachim below where it's supposed to be. Because you're saying the midpoint of the mizbeach is 3 tefachim below the soviv, and you're allowing him to do it as much as 5 or 6 tefachim below the soviv. So that doesn't work. So we can't understand Yechezkel that way, we can't understand it to say that the bottom 6 amos of the height of the mizbeach are all 5 tefachim. So let's try this. El or no. Let's suppose that what Yechezkel means is like, Chei Ka'ama means Knissa. When he says the Chei... We're trying to learn over here. Can we not have a... Chei Ka'ama, the Ama, the Yisoid is an Ama. Let's say that's not talking about the height of the Ama anymore. Of the Yisoid. Let's say that's talking about the indent of the Ama. How far in does it go in from there, and then now the mizbeach is a little narrower from there. Forget about the height, we said it doesn't fit with what we just said. But let's say we're talking about the indent of the yisod. So let's say that that's a 5 tefachim, we're saying. Ama roichav knissa. And again, let's say when he says ama roichav is not referring to the height of the mizbeach until the sovev, it's referring to the indent of the sovev itself, is also 5 tefachim, let's say. Gvulel sofa saviv is also knissa. Let's say when he's talking about the chronos, he also means that the chronos, not the height of the chronos, but rather the width of the chronos is also measured in the 5 tefachim. Okay, in that case it would mean the entire 10 amma height of the mizbeach is all 6 tefachim, because those are not any of the 3 that he's mentioning as exceptions. So therefore, mizbeach kamahavel is shikin. So now if we refigure it that way, it comes out that mizbeach is 60 tefachim tall. Talgid and Mizbeach Kamahavi Tzvachim, and the midpoint of the Mizbeach, instead of 54. Now it would be 60, because we added to the bottom 6 Tzvachim, we added a Tzvach each. And we're saying it's only the indents and the width of the Kronos that are narrower. So we would say then, okay, so then Talgid and Mizbeach Kamahavi Tzvachim, the midpoint of the Mizbeach then comes out 30 Tzvachim off the ground. Okay, now the Kronos Bad Sovev Kamahavi, according to this way of reconstructing it, from the top of the chronos until the ledge, Kamahavi, how much does it come out? To Chav Dalet. It comes out 24 tefachim. Because you have 4 amas, 1 amma for the height of the chronos, which we're saying is a 6 tefach amma now.
Ten
amas, we're saying. But it says 10 amas. It doesn't say in terms of tefachim. That's what we have to figure out. Whether there's 5 or 6 tefach amas, right? Because of Yechezkel, because of the pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk in Shulamachius is the Sholem Shabbos, so much say. But you have a sugya in Zvachim where you have the Amoroyim, the Tanoim rather, discuss and they conclude, and this is the halacha that it's actually 10 amos. The amos means it's back close of the lamaila from the close of until the top surface of the mizbeach is 3 amos. The total height of the mizbeach from floor to the top of the chronos is 10 amos. The question is what size amos? So now if we're saying that all of them are 6 tefachim. Okay, so then again, we're saying the total height of the mizbeach is 60 tefachim. Half of that is 30. counting downward from the top.
Yeah,
we're talking about in Tefachim, right. So now, from the top of the Kronos to the Sovev is four Amos. Four Amos of six Tefachim each comes out 24. Tama Bosu L'Palgat of Mizbeach, how much more do you need to get down to the midpoint of the Mizbeach Shisha? You need six more Tefachim. Good, well then that's it. Or 10, because we learned in the Mishnah. 24 plus 6 equals 30.
Right.
Yeah. And that works because it's Tanan, because then it explains what we said in the Braisa. Imachsol and Masim and Agra. Right. And we learned in the Braisa. Imachsol and Masim and Agra, Vasuva Amahachas Chera. That if he were to squeeze out the blood of the Ola Soif up to one Amah below where he's standing on the Soif, then it's kosher. Good. That would explain it, because on the top half of him is there. So that works. Okay. The problem with that is, B'mai Okitza. Okay, so what are you saying that all three things that Yechezkel is talking about, that are five tefachamos, the chet, the roichad, and the gvula, you're saying are all referring to the indent? The problem with that is, umi matis mukhmas labiknis. How could you say that all of those are talking about the indent? V'hatsinan. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Midos as follows. Mizbeach ha-yashloshim u'shtayim ha-shloshim u'shtayim. The lowest layer of the mizbeach, the yisoid, was 32 by 32 amos. Technically, what it is in Zachim, the Gemara discusses over there, that the Yisoy didn't go the whole way around the Mizbeach. It only went around two whole sides and then stuck out on a little bit on two other sides. But it means that the longest length and the longest width of that part of the Mizbeach was 32 hours.
It was a square,
except for the fact that you had a cutout on two sides of the square. Yeah. The Rambam describes it based on the Gemara in Zachim, that what it is they put up a wooden frame, 32 by 32 amos. In that wooden frame, they put wooden blocks in the places where there's not supposed to be a yisod. And then they poured in the cement-like mixture and whatever and went and hardened, and they took out the wooden blocks and they took out the frame. Then you wind up with a slab over there that's 30, where two dimensions of it are 32 by 32 and the other one's a 31 by 31. In other words, where it sticks out in the corners like it's supposed to. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues. Ola Amma Vakanis Amma, so now it goes up one Amma in height, and it indents one Amma, Zeru Yisod. That indent, that height of one Amma and indent of one Amma is the Yisod of the Mizbeach. Nimsa Shloshim Ashloshim, so then it comes out at that point, so at that point, the next layer of the Mizbeach is 30 by 30 Amma, so you're reducing one Amma on each side. The problem with that, from 32 to 30, because one Amma on each side.
Yeah.
From one arm on the east, one on the west, one on the north, one on the south. Yeah. The problem with that is, if you say that the indent of the stone was only five tefachim, then that part of the mizbeach 30 amos by 30 amos exactly. It comes out 30 amos plus two tefachim. And the Mishnah didn't say that. The two.
How do you get there?
Because if you're starting with 32, if you're starting with 32 amas of six tefachim each,
right.
32 times six equals 192.
Right.
Now you're saying you're indenting five tefachim on each side. Because we're now hypothetically understanding that Yaakov, there's feedback on your phone. You mind moving it a little bit further away? Thank you.
192.
Okay, 192. Then we're saying minus 10, because 5 on each side, you end up with 182. 182 divided by 6 comes out 30 and a remainder of 2. So you got 30 amos and 2 tefachim. So it would mean that the next piece of the Mizbeach is not 30 by 30, it's 30 plus 30 and 2 times 30 by 30 and 2. The 2, and let's continue. That Mishnah continues. Then the Mishnah continues that the next part of the Mizbeach went up five tefachim and then indented another amma. Zehu Soviv, and that one amma indent constitutes the Soviv. That's where the Kohenim would walk around. Nimta Esu Mashmona al Esu Mashmona. So now it comes out the part above the Soviv is 28 by 28 ammas. Again, by the same logic, if we're saying that the Soviv is only indented five tefachim on each side, you wind up with the previous one was 30 and 2. Now you go up another and you have, again, only 5 tefachim on each side as opposed to 6. You end up with 28 and 4. And the mission is not saying that.
Mission.
So what do you mean? Estu Mashmona, Estu Mashmona. It comes out that each dimension of it now is 28 amos and 4 tefachim. Okay, you're going to answer, fine, okay, the Mishnah ignores the Tvachim. The Mishnah is telling us 30 and 28. We're meant to understand that it includes extra Tvachim, which is not counting. Okay. The problem with that is we're still not finished because the Mishnah continues. Okay, so now you go up from the size of 3 amos. Now you reach the height. Now you reach the height of the top surface of the mizeach. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah says, "Mokum kronos amos mizeach amos mizeach." The place of the kronos takes up 1 amma on each side, and you have in other words, each keren is a square box. But in other words, you have to consider when you're talking. The next thing inside of that is the walkway for the keren. You don't want the walkway for the Kohenim to be where the Kronos are. Okay? You don't want them to trip over the Kronos. The walkway for the Kohenim has to be the neck, has to be inside of that. Right. So we picture the Kronos as though, even though each one of them is only a square, an Amma by an Amma, we picture them taking up a zone 1 Amma long along the whole, along each edge of the, 1 Amma wide rather, along each edge of the Mizeach. Here's what's top of the Mizeach with the Kronos. Makom HaKronos is this entire area over here. All these areas that I'm shading over here are all called Makom HaKronos. Because we exclude them when we're talking about the place where the Kohenim are going to walk and the place we're going to have, where we're going to have the fire for the Mizeach.
Because
each one takes up an Amma by an Amma on the corner, and therefore we consider that whole Amma strip along the edge to be the Makom HaKronos. And the Mishnah says, Nimsa Estrim Vashesh al Estrim Vashesh. At that point, the remaining part of the surface of the Mizeach is 26 by 26 amas. Again, if we go, this part over here, would be 26. The problem with that is, so far,
3 and 3 on each side.
Not 3 and 3. 5 and 5, we're saying, on each side.
It was 32 amas?
Okay. You start off with 32. You start off with 32, then you have 30, then you have 28, then you have 26.
Okay.
Now, if we're going to say that each time, when each of those indents, if we're going to say that each of them is a 5 tefach amma, so again, we went from 32 to 30 and 2 tefachim, then to 28 and 4 tefachim. If we do that again, then it's not a few tefachim left over. Then you want 28 and 4 tefachim on each side. Then you can have, once you take out the Makom HaKronos, you're going to have 26. You're not going to have 26 amas. You're going to have 27 amas. And there you can't say that we're not including the extra tefachim anymore. And then to Esrim Vashesh al Esrim Vashesh. What do you mean that it comes out 26? Esrim Vasheva Abu. It comes out 27. Because again, you're subtracting only 5 tefachim on each side. Okay, the Gemara says Lloyd Zach. Fine, you could still say that maybe the Mishnah is not being precise. The Mishnah is rounding. So, okay. However, the problem with that is, Makom Hiluk Ragli Akronim, Amamizeva Amamizeva. Then the Mishnah continues, you have another square inside that one. Namely, you have a 1 Amma wide strip around the edge, around the Mizbeach, for the Akronim to walk. So that is, again, there's a strip that includes the Kronos, which that's not the Makom Hiluk Ragli Akronim. Within that, you have another strip 1 Amma wide, which is what the Kohenim walk on when they're walking around the top surface of the Mizeach. And then within that, then whatever's left of that, this whole area that is shaded in over here, is the Makom HaMa'arafa, which is 24 by 24, the Mishnah says. But as the Mishnah says, Makom Hiluch Ragli HaKohenim, Amma Mizeva Amma Mizeh, the walkway for the Kohenim to go around the top of the Mizeach, is an Amma on each side, Nimsa Esrim Ba'aba Al Esrim Ba'aba. So it comes out that the place for the Ma'aracha, the place for the wood piles on the Mizeach and for the fire, is 24 by 24. Yeah. But according to what we just said, Esther Machamisha Havon. According to this, it comes out 25.
So we're missing an Amma.
So you're going to say, okay, again, maybe the Mishnah is rounding off. Maybe the Mishnah started. No, we said before an Amma, we got off. The problem with that is we can't say we're rounding off because we have another Pasuk in Yechezkel describing the Mizeach. He says, V'ho Ariel and the Ariel, which means the Makom HaMa'arafa, because we have the famous thing that the fire on the Mizeach looks like a lion, so therefore it's called Ariel, the lion of Hashem. So the Ariel, he says,
is that the lion from above?
No, not from above, no. But it looked like a crouching lion. In the first place, the fire on the Mizeach, it was shaped like a, yeah, the Gemara mentions in Yoma that the fire actually had substance. It wasn't a normal fire. It was some kind of okay. So it was 12 long by 12 wide ravua square. Now yochol she'ena el shteimes al shteimes, right? You would think that means that the mizbeach that Yechezkel is describing is only 12 by 12 amos. Nope. Shu oimer el arbas ravav. Yechezkel continues by saying two is four corners, so it's four sides. Melamed she'be'emtzah who moided shteimes amos lachol ruach ruach. It means that from the middle of the mizbeach you're measuring 12 amos in each direction. Similar to what we said before about the kronos, that you're measuring a half amma in each direction. So therefore, in other words, now Yechezkel is now, so Yechezkel is saying 12. He's not, so 12 times 12, 12 plus 12 is 24. You can't say the pasuk is not being exact. Yechezkel is telling us how to build, he's coming out 24, not 25, exactly. You can't understand it that way.
It has to be a discrepancy.
Yes, but that's the question. If we're going to understand that the three things that Yechezkel mentioned, Chayka Amma, Amma Roish Chavu, Gula, are all, we're talking about the indents of five Tepach Ammas, it works as far as the height of the Mizbeach, but it doesn't work as far as the width, because you end up with a Makam Amarach of 25 by 25, where it's supposed to be 24 by 24.
Can we say that the height was 5 and the width was 6, Ammas of 6?
Hold on, we're going to still figure it out. Okay.
One second.
The chitema, so you might answer another answer. Shis minayu meikra ba'ama ba'chamisha ma'ikilahu. You could argue that maybe when you're originally measuring the mizbeach, maybe to begin with, when we're saying that you do the mizbeach, there's the bottom slab of the mizbeach, we're saying it's 32 by 32, maybe what we do is some of those amas of the width are 5 tefach amas, some of them are 6 tefach amas. And therefore we can wind up that the Makam Amaracha will actually be 6 Tfachim Shilin, if we're going to say that. Six of the Amos. So let's say we assume the Mizbeach we said is 32 by 32, but we would say out of those 32, 26 of them are 6 Tfachim Hamas, and 6 of them are 5 Tfachim Hamas. So that would work out. However, the problem is, in Ken Rav Palazar, in that case, so effectively, what we'd be saying is we called it 32 by 32, but really it would mean if we measured with normal 6 tefach amos, we would call it only 31 by 31. Because in other words, again, let's see. Before we were saying you start out with 32 amos and all of them are 6 tefachim, and 32 times 6 is 192. Now we're supposing 6 of them were 5 tefach amos, and therefore it comes out 186. 186 divided by 6 comes out to 31. And the problem is, when we look at the dimensions of the Azara and where the Mizbeach fit in it, we're assuming it was 32. And the problem is, you have more space in the Azara. That's unaccounted for. It's not, because we learn in another Mishnah in this, Kol ha'azara ha'isa orach meyo shmonim v'sheva al reichav meyo shloshim v'chomesh. The entire Azara, this is not including the Ezra's Noshim, this is the Ezra's Yisrael, the Ezra's Koyanim, and everything within that, was 187 amos long by 135 wide. And
by
135, yeah. And let's break down.
That's those measurements.
Because that's science. There was 187 by 135. I guess it was told to them in Nevuah. The same way as David HaMelech was given the blueprint of the Beit HaMikdash for Nevuah, and he gave it to Shlomo. The same way with the second Beit HaMikdash also. Yeah. Okay. So let's work out how it was divided.
500 amos
is the higher value.
Yeah.
That's something else.
It was within these five minutes.
Okay, so let's break down how the 187 from west to east went. Mizrach l'mayr of Meir Shmoyin Meshavah, from east to west, it was 187. As follows, Makom Judis Tesragli Yisrael, the area where Yisraelim are allowed to walk, is Achas Tesrahama, is 11 amos wide. Or Makom Judis Tesragli Akoyinim, the area where the Koyinim are allowed to go when they're not doing the Avodah, is another 11, Achas Tesrahama, so far you have 22. Hamizbeach Shloshim Ushtayim, the Mizbeach takes up the next 32.
We're taking the whole length
of the Azara, right? So far we're 22, 11, 11, 11, and 32, so far up to 54.
They'll be
in the same place as the Shira, right?
Unless they're doing the Shira.
Okay. So 11, 11, and 32. So far we're up to 54. Zain ha'ulam v'lam izbeach esu l'shtayim amah. The space between the ulam, the front entrance of the heichol, and the mizbeach is 22 amahs. So far we got 76. a heichel me'am, the heichel itself is 100 amos long, so 176. 11,
22,
100. 22, 100. Yeah, and achas, that's your amah, chore beis that's an 11 amos behind the beis hakaparis. So that's your 11, and that makes 186. So the point is, if the mizbeach was really only 31 amos long, and we're surely not going to say that the amos that were used to measure the azara, that some of them were 6 tefah amos and some of them were 5 tefah amos. There's no reason to assume that. We said the machlokes we had was as far as kalim, not as far as building. Everybody agrees buildings are in 6 tefah amos. So therefore, if you're going to say the mizbeach was really only 31 by 31, then you have an extra amos that's unaccounted for in the mission.
11, 11, 32,
24,
22.
11, 11, 32, 22, 100, and
100
was the... 100 is the answer. No. So we have to understand Yechezkel yet another way. Cheikh ha'amah means the goyva. When we say that, the cheikh, meaning the yisod, was an amah of 5 tefachim, that refers to the height of it, after all. Not the indent. The indent was actually 6. Amar roichav means knitta. When he says amar roichav as far as the soviv, and we thought in the first explanation earlier on the Omer, we thought it meant the height all the way up until the soviv. Now we're saying no, it means only the indent of the soviv. So we're keeping that from the second part.
The horizontal,
right. Gvula, spot of soviv, and when it comes to the kronos, we were saying that they're measured in a 5 tefach amma, loishna hochi, loishna hochi. It doesn't matter. You could explain that the length and width of them is a 5 tefach amma or a 6 tefach amma. It wouldn't matter, because either way, once you start out with the yisoid is indented 6 tefachim, then it comes, so let's work out the math again. So we started out with 32 by 32. We have a yesod is indented 6 tefachim on each side, after all, not 5. So we're left with exactly 30 amos, not 30 amos and 2 tefachim.
Right.
Then we go up and we're saying the sovid is indented 5 on each side, fine. So that leaves us 28 and 2. Fine, no big deal. 2 extra tefachim is not something that the Mishnah needs to mention. We go up to the next level, we have 26 and 4. Again, 26 and 4 is not a problem. So you have 26 and 4. So fine, 26 and 4 still works. You have 4 extra tefachim. Or you could say that the Kronos, was 6 tefach amos, and then you have 26 and 2. It doesn't matter. Either way, you're not all the way up to 27, and then when you have the Makom HaKronos and the Makom Hiluch Ragli HaKoinim, you wind up with a Makom HaMaarocha, which is 24 by 24, or maybe 24 and a couple of extra tefachim, but the extra tefachim don't matter. Mm-hmm. So therefore, So therefore we're good. Okay. Mizbeach Kamaha, the Chamshin Esmanya. Okay, so now if we calculate it that way, the height of the Mizbeach comes out to be 58 tefachim. Because, again, it's 10 amos, but we're saying the bottom tefach of it, which is with the height of the yisoid, because 10 amos, before we thought it should be 60, because 10 times 6, now we're saying no, the bottom tefach, the bottom amos of it, the height of the yisoid, and the top amos of it, the height of the chronos, are 5 tefach amos. The rest of it is 6 tefach amos, so therefore you have it coming out to 58. Talgud Mizbeach Kamahavi Esther Mitzisha. The midpoint of the Mizbeach comes out to 50, comes out to 29. 29 is half of 58.
29 in what?
29 tefachim.
29 tefachim.
Mikronos bad Sodav Kamahavu Esther Mitzvah. Now when we calculate it this way, if we measure from the top of the Kronos down to the Sodav, we come out with 23 tefachim. Because before, in the first two possibilities, we thought it was 24. Because we thought that the top four amos in the Mizbeach was 60. Now we're saying it's 6, 6, 6, and 5. So therefore that equals 23. Okay. Kama Bosul Apalgad in Mizbeach, how much do you need from there to get to the midpoint in Mizbeach? She said, you need another 6 tefachim. So 23 plus 6 is 29. Good. Uchnan, and we learned in the Braille, and we learned before. If you did the Ola Soiv, even up to 1 Amma below his feet on the Soiv, Kshedim, that's kosher. So therefore, you said, now everything works out. Now both the height and the width of the Mizbeach are taken care of.
But the problem is you're counting 6 and 5. What?
Because we have Yechezkel telling us, So we understand that Yechezkel was telling us that 3 parts of the Mizbeach are measured in 5 tefach amos. Now we understand what those 3 parts are. The height of the yisod, the indent of the soviv, and the height of the yisod, the indent of the soviv, and the height of the chronos. And the height of the chromis. And then, possibly also the width of the chromis. That, we said it doesn't matter. But yes, so therefore it works out. Deitanami, in fact, we can see that when we look carefully at the wording of the pasuk. Dichtiv chet ha'ama, because the pasuk starts by saying the chet, meaning the yisoid, is an ama, and then the ama roishav, and then an ama, and then an ama width. Meaning, in other words, if it meant to say the indent of the yisoid, then it would have used the word roishav for it also. So when it calls it chet ha'ama, and the other one it calls ama roishav, that implies one is vertical and the other is horizontal. Chet is vertical, roishav is horizontal. Good. Shnam, you know, that proves it, that's how it was. The Yisoid, so again, to recap, the Yisoid went up 5 Tfachim and in 6 Tfachim. Then,
5, 6.
Then you go up from there 5 Amos of 6 Tfachim each. 5 Amos of 6 Tfachim each.
Yeah, that's
30. That's 30. And then you get to the Soviv, and the indent of the Soviv is 5 Tfachim. Then you go up from there another 3 Amos of 6 Tfachim each. Then on top of that, you have the Kronos, which are 5 Amos tall, well, 5 tfachim tall, and possibly 5 amos wide. Mm-hmm. And then,
Just to fit
the pasuk in Yechezkel, right. Okay, so that's how it is.
But he says that it has to be in 5 and in 6.
That there, you have some 5s and some 6s, right.
What did he say at the end?
Well, again, he starts by saying that most amos are ama b'tefach, and ama is usually a short ama plus an extra tefach.
Right.
However, then he says, which is 6, but then he says that you have these 3 things, cheka ama, v'ama reicha, v'gula, which the implication is that those should be regular ama, the 5. So, yeah, so that's how it is. Okay. Yeah.